This episode is brought to you by our friends at Off to Neverland Travel. If you're booking your next vacation, you know what to do. Go to their website, gotoneverland.com, and schedule your next trip. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. Off to Neverland at gotoneverland.com.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, August 31st, this episode 1528 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And today, Will is going to host the show.
I am. I'm taking over, folks.
See you guys. I'm out.
It's just me talking
Will Haynes.
I'm going to talk for about 30 minutes in different voices. Y'all are all going to get real mad and turn this off.
Can you do all of our voices?
Yeah, I can do them.
Okay, for another day.
I'll do them right now.
All right.
Okay, Will. I'm Logan. That's terrible.
That's like a Muppet.
Right. Yeah.
Listen here, brother. This is Logan Seculo coming at you. Cream of the crop. Ooh, that, yeah.
We have the Macho Man Logan Seculo in here.
And the Nature Boy Will Haynes. Yeah. It's wrestling cast now. Yeah.
All right. So
God,
basically,
I'm like pain now.
We are talking. We're like, what should we talk about today? And I know I've mentioned it before, but I've actually never been on a Disney cruise. Unlike everyone else on this show, including Mr. Len Testa, who will be joining us later for listener questions with Len, but Logan has been recently. He's done a couple different versions of the cruise, and Terry is actually planning a pretty spectacular cruise coming up. So I wanted to get some info from you two about, because I'm going to have to for the show, essentially, like it's in my description that I have to go.
We have to pay for you to go.
You're willing to do the hard work.
I'm willing to do the hard work on a cruise.
There's a way.
There's a cruise line.
All right.
So, getting started, I know that there's several different ships, I think. Like, what kind of give me the lay of the land as far as, like, the different boats? Because I hear people say words like fantasy and dreams. Sure. And
yeah, there's, right now there's, what, four ships?
Four ships.
Two more are on the way, is what we've heard. But yeah, two classes. So kind of the old ships and the new ships.
Okay.
The new ships were, what, 5-6 years ago? 2009, 2010, somewhere around
they
there?
They call them the classic ships, the old ships.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying. They're the old ships, but they've been restored.
Yes.
But the new ones are still, I mean, they're multiple years old now. Five years old. And that's the dream and the fantasy. Dream is slightly smaller, right?
No, dream, like, within, like,
it's smaller.
10 people than the fantasy.
I mean
it's a small number of people.
And the dream does shorter trips, right? four nights, 3 nights, and the fantasy does the longer trips, 7 nights to...
Currently,
the
fantasy does pretty much 7 nights exclusively in the Bahamas, Caribbean, Mexico, etc. And then the dream does 3, 4, or 5 nights.
Yeah.
Which are typically all going to Nassau and Castaway Cay.
Right.
And then the Wonder is in Alaska in the summers. And then it does the Panama Canal cruises. It's actually on the Panama Canal cruise right now.
Oh, cool.
My wife's assistant director is on that cruise right now with her family. And then it comes back and kind of sails out of Miami, Galveston, and sometimes Port Canaveral. And it kind of goes to the... So it kind of does that. And then the Magic... in the summers goes to Europe.
Okay. And that's specifically, you're going on the Magic.
I'm going on the Magic on the Mediterranean cruise.
And it's one of the older class ships, is what you're saying.
It's one of the older ships. It was the first one. And it's recently
the
one
that's the mid-90s, late 90s, right? 98?
98, yeah. But it's the one that's been most recently refurbished.
Okay, cool.
And the Wonder is going in to be refurbished. As soon as it drops this Panama Canal cruise people off, it'll be basically a brand new ship because they are literally gutting it.
Okay. So you are going, when are you going on this this excursion?
Of September is when we sail.
And you sail out of
Barcelona.
Okay. So you're flying over to Europe.
Over to Europe. Round trip, basically.
And it goes from Barcelona around, I'm guessing around Italy.
Around Italy and then to Cannes, Nice, France.
So how do you plan for that? Like, that sounds like an intense undertaking.
Yeah, this one's a little intense because we're bringing both of our extended families. My brother and his wife, who are newlyweds, are going with us. Marjorie, who's lives with my mom, who's worked for me off and on for years, and is kind of like our adopted stepsister. And then both my mom and my wife's mom are going with us. And so it's kind of, it's a trip for them.
Mm-hmm.
They both kind of had Europe as a bucket list, and they're both you know.
And what a way to do it.
What a way to do it. And so they both said, we've always wanted to go to Italy. We've always wanted to go to France. We've never been. And we're like, you're going. So cool. We had kind of a family tragedy. And it was kind of like, that was kind of the, no, really, we're going to do this.
The catalyst to get you there.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're super excited. And we started planning, about a year ago, we started planning.
How many nights is the Mediterranean cruise?
It's seven.
Okay.
And then we're after we get back to Barcelona, we're going to Paris for 4 days and going to go to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, I mean, while you're there, you might as well make it a trip because that's kind of an undertaking. How is the pricing for like a Mediterranean cruise versus a regular going to the Caribbean cruise?
Ridiculous.
What does that mean?
It's almost double.
Okay.
Compared to going to like the Caribbean on the Fantasy. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I'm,
like
I'm
you said, this is like a once in a lifetime kind of thing.
I'm a little spoiled because we're off season cruisers. We typically cruise like in December. Or
not during Christmas.
We avoid Christmas and we avoid, you know, spring break. So
now which boats have you been on, Logan? Do you call them boats?
Ships.
Is that fine?
Ships,
yeah.
I've been on the Dream only. I've done the exact same cruise twice.
Okay.
And I've done the Disney Dream 4 nights to Nassau and to Castaway Key. And both times, different experiences. First time was my wife and I. The second time was my wife and I, our son who was 1 at the time, who is now almost 4, and my parents. We are probably going to plan on going next Christmas again with now the 3 kids,
extended family,
my brother, his daughter.
Like this year or like next?
No, like a year from December. When the kids are around this, up closer to 2, when the girls are closer to 2. Not that it was fine with 1. I thought it was great. But, you know, it would be more fun. Then Reich will be, you know, 6.
Do you think 5. You'll do the same itinerary or will you try to mix it up a little?
I don't know. I love Castaway Key. I love it. So I am open to that. I feel like we'll go a little longer, but I don't know. It totally depends on the kids' personalities. The first time we did it, my wife and I did it, we had a great deal at the last second, concierge level. We booked it. We went. First time we'd ever do a cruise. And first time we ever done a Disney cruise. We had done a Royal Caribbean. We had done a Carnival for work. Both were not great experiences. My wife got sick. It was just not fun. So the Disney one, we're like, all right, we don't want to go crazy. We don't want to go 7 nights. What if we hate it? Yeah. So we realized that we don't hate it. We loved it. So we had a great time. When it was just us, we spent very little time in the kids sections. It was always, you know, the adult pool, the coffee bar, did some tastings. And I know we've talked about that before and had a lot of fun. And then we had the adults only beach. The next time around, it was a totally different experience where we were going to the Disney Junior dance party and, you know, playing bingo, still only think about the same thing that we still did.
Yeah.
And the only way we really can gamble on the boat. And, you know, we had a lot of fun. Nassau, the first trip was pointless. We didn't know what we were doing. We went over to Atlantis and realized that unless you had booked an Atlantis excursion, you couldn't even get into Atlantis really other than the casino, which was fine. So we spent a few hours in the casino. Ended up just going to a restaurant around the boat, had lunch or dinner, and then we went back on. Nassau is Nassau. It's nothing amazing. I mean, it's beautiful. The waters are unreal, but you've seen those waters at that point for a couple of days. But Castaway Key is my favorite place in the world. And what scares me the most about going against Terry is Terry seems to always get on the cruise ships where they miss Castaway Key, and I would genuinely go into like deep depression if I've gone on a cruise ship and missed
it. Explain to me what that is.
I don't what the key is.
Deep depression.
deep depression.
The Castaway Key. It's a private island run by Disney. They own it. A few people live there to keep it up, and they have beautiful beaches. Some kind of show stuff with some characters. Jack Sparrow kind of wanders around the beach, but mainly it's just beautiful waters, beautiful beaches. We did a cabana this last time.
So you spend the day there?
The whole day there.
One of the unique things that Disney does is a lot of times cruise lines will have a private island, mm-hmm. but Disney actually docks at the island. And so you actually dock, you can walk on and off all day.
Yeah, you can go back to. It is a little bit of a haul.
Yeah,
you usually have to.
You ride a little tram, and then there's two beach areas. One that's the family beach, and before the family beach, there's a place for like stingrays.
Yeah, and you can also snorkeling area. And you can eat there. They have like a barbecue.
Have a barbecue, lots of bars.
Yeah,
And then the adult only beach, which is where my wife and I normally go because there's no kids.
Yeah. I've actually only been to the adult only beach both times, and the reason is because the first time it was just us. The second time, we got a cabana, and the cabana is essentially attached to the adults-only beach. And that's kind of a way to maybe skirt the rules a little bit with your kids and to get to a quieter, more peaceful area if you want that. Cabana was expensive, 100% worth it. We'll do it if I can book it every time. Now they're adding more cabanas, I think. Is absolutely worth it. You have a private little hut on this beach, covered with a fan, I believe. They set up a pack and play for my son at the point that was covered, had like draped in, bartender, waiter, server who comes by, supplies you with everything you need. You know, essentially having a tiny little beachfront house in some ways. You know, I don't think there's a bathroom, but the bathroom's right nearby. That's right there. Your beach access, and it's awesome. And Jack Sparrow wanders around. It's pretty great.
What would cause you to miss that?
Weather.
Okay, so if it's too choppy to dock or something like that.
There's only a certain, I think at like 35 miles an hour winds, the boat doesn't have the power to dock.
Gotcha.
Which is a bit weird.
Yeah. It's especially weird because they built the Dream and Fantasy knowing that and they didn't compensate for it. But I will say this. We've docked there like one of those days where like it took 6 or 7 attempts to dock there and we got off. It was on our 10th anniversary. Luckily, it was a double dip, so we had like 2 days to go, which means you get...
What's two, a double dip?
Yeah, means you're double dipping at Castaway. You get two tries.
Two days.
2 days there. And we docked and, you know, none of the like excursions were open because everyone was thinking a hurricane was coming. But it was a horrendous place to be. It was just windy. The sand was literally blowing in your face.
So when you don't get it, you don't want to be there anymore.
Right. If you do miss Castaway, you're not missing anything. It literally would just be a miserable day. Because if it's that windy, it's just you're not going to enjoy the day.
So that's because you a lot of times travel during hurricane season.
No,
I thought it was.
That was during hurricane season. Yeah. We used to travel during hurricane season.
Okay.
But we've intentionally avoided it since then.
But if you missed it, not in hurricane season.
Just because of like, you know,
just
a nor'easter or something, you know.
I would go crazy. They also do a 5K in the morning there if you're a runner.
Oh, yeah. Neat. As a man without children, just me and my wife.
Yes.
I think what has maybe kind of turned me off to the thought of doing a Disney cruise is being stuck on a boat with a bunch of families that maybe I don't want
to be around. Yeah.
I've heard the term adults only section. And beaches, how is it? I guess this is, you've done it as just you and your wife before, and you do it just you and your wife all the time. Sell me on this.
So this cruise will be our 10th Disney cruise, none of which we've taken with a child. We've cruised one other time with friends who had children. Man, the couple things I'll say, if you're really concerned about it, do one of their non-traditional cruises. Do a cruise that's like the Panama Canal cruise, or the Hawaiian cruise, the cruises where they're a little longer, or, you know, those first few weeks in September, there aren't as many kids on those because kids have just gone back to school. But Disney has definitely compensated. There's an entire lounge area where I think there's 3 or 4 bars, depending on the ship. Mm-hmm. Some of the ships have 3. Some of them have like 5 bars in that area. And after dark, that is all adults only, nightclubs. There's a sports bar. There's a piano bar. There's a champagne bar. Depending on every boat, kind of has a little bit of a theme to the area. One's kind of themed like Route 66, and one's kind of themed like a circus kind of thing. And so there's an adult only coffee house, which is in by the adult only pool on the boat,
which is where I had our whiskey tasting.
Yeah,
I thought it was tequila tasting.
We did both.
I didn't know you did both. You did both.
We did scotch tasting. Scotch tasting at the coffee bar. Or no, it was whiskey. We had some Jack and Macallan and went through about 15 other adults. And I don't remember what it cost. It wasn't too expensive.
Like $20 or $30, yeah. But to the tastings.
Yeah. The tequila one was great. Tequila margarita tasting.
Yeah. That's because the people didn't show up and you had to taste theirs.
I think that's probably true a lot of the times. It's also just a cool experience. For us, we're adults only. I mean, yes, we're Disney people. So like going to a show, we weren't going to be like, man, there's so many kids here. At the Golden Mickey Awards. Yeah. You know? like it wasn't like we knew what we were getting ourselves into. But honestly, other than getting on and off the boat and knowing that there's certain things you're on a Disney cruise you're going to want to do, like the shows or going to a movie, you can avoid the annoyance, I'd say, of it being kids.
Yeah.
You can avoid that if you really want to, but there's also a bit of like, oh, yeah, I want to go get 24-hour pizza. Like, you know,
and
like,
there's going to be kids on other cruise ships. It's not
for sure. Yeah. Well, the main difference, and if you're comparing it, the big mama difference is no casino. No casino and expensive drinks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So a lot more expensive.
I think they're more expensive.
They do have drinks of the day specials that are like 2-for-1s that are pretty fantastic.
Do they have a drink pass or anything? Like you can get unlimited? Okay.
No.
Well.
That's See, which is different than like a carnival.
Yeah, carnival because you can get. I mean, they're still pricey, but I mean,
it's like
over the 5 days. Yeah. It's
not up until that much. Recently, you were allowed to bring your alcohol on board and drink it on board your own. They've changed it where you can bring 2 bottles of wine per person per port. So, at the very least, you can have some wine to kind of offset your. Which you know,
there is a liquor store on the boat.
Interesting. Yeah.
Like that, that duty is free. Not,
like a duty free liquor store that's like it's just there.
But you can't take it with you until you get off the boat.
Right. You can't. Not anymore.
If it's not if it's a duty free.
Oh, you can't? Mm-hmm. I've never purchased anything yeah. there. So they just have a store, a liquor store there that you yeah, can't drink
like,
from?
Because like that's a waste. We always get Grand Marnier because my wife likes it in her tea. And you know, the big bottle there is like that would be in our liquor store here might be like $57. It's $32 on the boat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's disappointing. Because I always thought I could just go buy a bottle. But you can buy like a bottle of champagne and that kind of stuff. They'll bring that to your room.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, you order that. Yeah,
yeah. You can order.
And you can even bring champagne and on board.
Yeah, and if you're concierge level, that is one thing. Concierge level, you do get free drinks.
Oh.
So in the concierge lounge. And I mean, like, they have a pretty darn stocked bar and they'll make you whatever you want. Bartender, crazy. You have a cool private lounge over by the Doppler Balls. If you're going to go adults only, I know Terry Dunn, and you can afford it, I'd go kick concierge. That's the only time you actually see kids in the adults only section because to get to concierge, you have to go through the adults only section. But a lot, but the kids that are going in the adults only, in that.
They're well behaved.
Yes.
Most of the
time. Most of the time.
All right. Any other quick tips? I mean, I feel like I've gotten a lot of knowledge out of you two. Thanks for being on my podcast.
I'm not a character guy. I don't wait in lines to meet characters without my kids. With the kids, obviously I do. But without them. But they do those party things like the end day party and the end of the cruise party where their characters just free roam and you can bring your phone and get pictures. We did that, my wife and I. Again, we're not character people, don't really care for it that much by ourselves, but that's always fun because you have to wait
see
to do line.
Real soon.
See real soon. Where it's like
when you've done a ton of like margarita tastings and you got your phone, you're just doing selfies with characters all day.
Yeah, that's kind
of
what it's like. Yeah. And then they have so the characters, a lot of the Disney main characters will kind of free flow. There's also the Star Wars stuff. I haven't been on a cruise with Star Wars, but
those seem to be really
awesome.
The idea is great. The feedback that I've heard from people that have gone, because there's a limited number, it drives the price way up.
Yeah.
And you're only dealing
with... looking at one.
You're only looking at like one day of Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. Well, they play all the movies.
It's called the Star Wars Day at
Sea. Yeah. So, and like, then they do Jedi Training Academy, and they do character meet and greets, which, again, that's enough for me to do it with my kid.
Yeah.
Because right. he would be like, I'm going to meet Boba Fett. I'm going to fight Darth Vader. We're going to go watch all the Star Wars movies. Yeah, that's awesome.
Arguably the best day of his life.
Right. I mean, the amount of stuff he... And then fireworks are like your Star Wars themed instead of the Pirates themed.
Wait. They do fireworks from the boat?
Fireworks at sea.
Currently the only cruise.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense because...
It's kind of like
a whole Disney thing, but...
Yeah.
I like that. That's
kind of like a limited fireworks show. It's not like what you're seeing at the Magic Kingdom, but it's still nice.
And it's... What's great about it is it's... You're in the middle of the ocean, so it's crazy dark.
Yeah, very dark.
And so...
Beware the smoking section, though. I've been stuck in the smoking section before on accident during, because it's like, oh, this is a good spot.
Because it's right at the fireworks. It's on the top level, and it's by the, like, adult bar. It's by the singles bar.
I understand you have to have the smoking section, but it can ruin your day.
Yeah, man. I think you'd have a fantastic time, especially if you took advantage of there's adult on the Wonder and the Magic, there's one adults-only restaurant called Paolo that's Italian-themed. And then on the Dream and the Fantasy, there's two. There's Paolo, and then there's a restaurant called Remy. And then in between...
Like the Ratatouille?
Yeah. Race? And it's French. And in between them on the bigger ship is like a cigar slash like cognac kind of themed man bar.
They have a...
Is it weird that I actually, like, that kind of turns me off to it, that it's named after the rat in Ratatouille? Like, it's still named after a rat. Like, the movie's cute and all, folks, but you're naming...
Which, I think at Paolo, I had a nice champagne brunch, so you and your wife.
Oh, yeah. We're brunchaholics.
So, very good.
Yeah, both Remy and Paolo do brunch on sea days.
Love a good brunch.
And they give you a pager because you can't eat there if you're an adult with kids. If you go check your kids into the daycare or the play areas, whatever, they depending on the age of kid, you'll get a pager. And sadly, I have seen when I'm there every time someone gets paged, they have to leave their dinner. So that's why it was when my parents were there, it was worth it because we were able to
swap off.
They kept my kid. Then they went to eat. We did that. But without them, you're risking it.
It was child swap for adults only dining.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if there's any other specific questions.
No, I think I learned a lot.
The Aqueduct, which is a water coaster at sea.
Oh, I think I've seen a video of that on the YouTubes.
I would encourage you to go watch Evan Tube HD. They do a 5-episode Disney Cruise video that they did a few months ago, and my son's watched it over and over again. But I actually enjoyed it, and they do the Star Wars Day at Sea, so I think it's actually worth checking out if you want kind of a visual representation of a kid's point of view of a Disney cruise, but adult's point of view, different YouTube.
It's a good tip for folks that have children and want to do that. I'm not going to go watch Evan too.
No, I think you get on a list.
I think so. I think that's something wrong with that.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with listener questions with Lynn. I'll take a quick break and tell you about, we are a month away, folks, just under a month, 29-ish days from De Las Puertas Fest. If you are, you know, holding off, waiting to buy tickets, I need you to go ahead and do it. DLPFest.com. Join us in the greatest bands in all of theme park entertainment. We're talking about Off Kilter. We're talking about Mulch, Sweat, and Shears, now known as American Martian. We're talking about Return to Zero, formerly
also
Four for a Dollar.
Four for a Dollar, yeah.
And the British Invasion and, you know, the Dreamfinder, Ron Schneider, so many of us, we're going to be hosting tonight doing podcasts. So many people you know, Panda, you know, Bart, so many people. Just go to the website. You're going to love it. DLPFest.com out in Claremont, Florida, only about 20 minutes outside of Walt Disney World. We want to see you there, and tweet me and let me know you're coming, because I want to meet each and every one of you.
Isn't there a code people can use?
That's right. If you use the code DLPTALENT10, all caps, you get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's at DLPFest.com.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
It's that time again. It's time for listener questions with Lynn. Lynn, welcome back. I hope you had a nice week vacation off from the program.
Oh my God! I ended up moving my daughter into her dorm room in college and assembling all kinds of IKEA furniture.
Oh, very nice. Always fun.
Oh, the pain. Oh, my
it's
back.
It's the worst. That's okay. It's only going to last about the time she's in college. Then it'll.
Yeah, I know.
So you mean the first year?
Yeah.
Exactly. With IKEA furniture, you'll never have to move it again.
You're only going to have to move it to the dumpster.
That's the thing. Wait, I mean, it wasn't the assembly was hard, but moving it from the car up to her dorm room.
Oh, yeah.
You pre-assembled.
No. We assembled it from the flat packs, man.
But just carrying the packs is not fun.
Yeah, that was a lot. Anyway.
All right. Well, I'm glad you had a fun week. We do have a lot of listener questions this week that have come in. All of these have come in today. So let's just take what we'll do today's. It's like a today's roundup. What's on people's mind right now as they're planning their Walt Disney World vacation? And some of these are a bit abstract, I'll say. They're a little less like exact vacation planning. It's a little more like, what do you think, man? What do you think about this? So let's go. First one is from Jeannie Thomas, who says, will there be an Elena of Avalor meet and greet available to the public? And also, the fairy godmother isn't showing up on my My Disney Experience app. Is she meeting behind the castle still? So, do we know any answers on meet and greets? Terry, you're more of a character man. Do you have answers?
I'm still trying to figure out who Elena of Avalor even is.
Well, you don't watch Disney Junior.
Well, no, I don't.
Which is probably good.
It's Elena.
It's Elena,
not Ellen.
It's Elena, isn't it? Or is it Elena? It's Elena, right? Yeah. I've watched it twice.
So they're moving Ellen from the universe of energy.
And they're renaming her as Elena.
She's it.
Elena.
She is officially a princess.
Now she's in Guardians of the Galaxy. It all makes
exactly.
sense now.
Lynn, do we know exact answers for Elena of Avalor?
I'm sure there will definitely be one if there's not right now, and there may be actually be one right now.
She's around for sure. I'm not sure if there's like a set timing greet, but I know that they are doing stuff with her. And the show seems to be a big hit. So if you're a Disney Junior watcher, hopefully you enjoy it. And then also the Fairy Godmother. Is Fairy Godmother gone?
No, she's still there.
She's still there?
According to Disney's website, she's still there.
Okay, well, so you're... shocker, the app, the My Disney Experience app, malfunctioning slightly. something that never happens.
At the Magic Kingdom, Elena of Avalor's meet and greet just got extended over the weekend for some unspecified amount of time. In Disneyland, she's actually doing a meet and greet.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll get a chance to see her. I will say, for some of these Disney Junior things, Will and I said it on our trip report, like, they don't sometimes last very long. So, like, the Lion Guard thing lasted, like, a month at the Animal Kingdom, and they pulled it. It's like, I don't really know why. There was no effort to keep it going. It could have just left up the statues, but they still pulled them down. They still pulled them down because these Disney Junior promotions last a little shorter. So, keep an update. We don't know specifically, but as for the Fairy Godmother, it seems like she's still there for you. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah Anderson Donahue apparently has two questions. How difficult and competitive is to sign up for Jedi training? Are there any tips for that? So let's go with that question first.
It's
to have a lot of midichlorians to be able to sign up for that.
Exactly. They do like a weird blood test. That was awesome.
It's kind of strange. Yeah. It only hurts for an hour. So there's two parts. One, early in the morning,
right.
If you arrive before park opening, find a cast member, tell them what you want to do. They may let you in early to do it, or it'll be right at park opening. But so it depends on what the park procedure is. But find a cast member, tell them what you want to do, and they will help you out. The reason why you want to do it as early as possible in the morning is because the shows fill up on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you're there in the morning, you get your pick of the shows. And if you're there in the afternoon, you get what's left. If you get there late morning, you get what's left.
Yeah, if there's anything left. There are a lot of shows, though. So, I mean, you know, if you can make your schedule around it, hopefully you can make it in.
There are a lot of shows, but they, you know, it's possible that the ones that are left by the time you get there are the ones during mealtimes, which could be a conflict for you. So get there as early as possible. Ask a cast member as soon as you get to the front turnstiles. Even if the turnstiles aren't open, tell them what you want to do, and they will tell you whatever the procedure
is. And for those that are listening, I believe it's 4 and up is what they ask for Jedi training, because I've seen some people sneak in.
So like 34 is fine.
It's 4 to what? 4 to probably 11, 10, 9, something like that. I feel like it's probably okay.
Yeah,
then after that, that kind of
gets a little creepy.
You know, if you're shaving or drove yourself to the park.
Probably. If you're as tall as Darth Vader, don't do it. But yeah, so my son, who will be 4 this time, he's considering it. He's a little freaked out though by battling Vader. He wouldn't mind meeting him, but to actually fight him, not his thing. So something to keep in mind. All right, you got another question though?
So it's just first come, first serve. You need to be at if you really want to do it, be at rope drop.
Yeah, and you'll make it in.
Her second question is where's the best bet to see Aurora? When I took my daughter 5 years ago, that was her favorite princess, and we couldn't find her despite an expensive lunch in the castle.
Wow.
For Aurora, is she at Birgot?
In the print with
Angushush?
She's still with like the princess.
Princess Fairytale Hall.
Princess Fairytale Hall.
Did they put her back? They pulled her for the Frozen Girls. I don't know if they replaced her back.
The last time I checked, she was at you know those new castle walls in Fantasyland?
Yeah.
She was around there.
All right. I've seen her. I mean, I saw her the last time we were there, like 2 weeks ago. So I know that she's around. Does she do the dining, the Epcot dining, the princess dining? I think so.
I believe she does, yes.
Yeah. So if you really care about it, then yeah, that's a way to do it. So hopefully that'll help, that helps you out. But she's around. And you can find her, but they definitely phased her out a little bit more when they brought in the Frozen Girls. So, well.
You can also check who the Rapunzel and the Visiting Princess. One of them is Snow White, usually. What's the other one?
Oh, that's right. So they rotate it out.
They rotate, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So you could also check that, too.
All right. Next question. Comes from Patrick. He says, a Guardian of the Galaxy reboot of Ellen's Energy Adventure is the least imaginagical idea ever. I guess Imagineering magical. Discuss where you'd put Guardians of the Galaxy anywhere else on property, either by retheming or inserting a new ride. It says at the end, I just want to hear Will say imaginagical.
There you go.
That's fine.
There you go. I hope I delivered.
Can we isolate that? Just give us that one more time. Maybe she can make this like her ringtone. Give it to her one more time.
It's a man.
Patrick. Oh, so Patrick, listen up, folks.
Maybe Patrick wants it as his ringtone.
I doubt it.
All right. So I guess this question comes back to the Guardians of the Galaxy again, which guys feel like we've addressed now enough. But Guardians of the Galaxy, where would you put it if you didn't put it in Ellen's Energy Adventure? We can roundtable this. Terry, why don't you go? Will, where did you go?
Where would I put it?
Yeah.
I would put it in the Epcot Park, and because that's where Ellen's Energy Adventure is.
Yeah.
So I would keep it in that park, but I would put it in like, you know, the pavilion that's just sitting there empty.
Yeah, like
that's where
Wonders of Life.
Yeah, I would implode
or
that
Odyssey,
and I would build a new attraction completely from the ground up. I'd spend $1 billion doing it as well.
All right, Terry, have you thought about this?
I'd put it at the studios or whatever it will be named.
So what you're saying is you want to replace the Tower of Terror?
No, I don't want to replace the Tower of Terror with it.
I just want
all.
People to turn on you like they do on me.
No,
or maybe just, you know, add something else to that park.
Yeah.
I'm into adding.
Like some e-ticket attractions.
Yeah.
considering half of them have seen the closed.
Every time I go to Disney, guys, I try to look for these e-tickets.
No tickets.
Can't get them.
Lynn.
I mean, it's a film, right? Put out by Disney Studios. So
logically.
I mean, so logically, the place that it goes is Animal Kingdom, right?
I mean, we all know
and
that.
And it's also going to be distorted.
Guardians Land.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think we can all agree that the two parks that it doesn't belong in would be Epcot and Animal Kingdom.
Right.
So, of course, let's put it in one of those two. You know, what Disney's looking at here is Epcot needs an attendance boost. So Guardians of the Galaxy sequel coming out. You know, if they're looking at doing it, they're going to do a roller coaster because the park also needs another thrill ride. You know, that's the thing that would put it in there. I think Disney's looking at this and saying, Epcot needs something. Here's something. Therefore, this is what Epcot needs. I hate the idea. I hate the idea more than I hate the idea of Frozen in Norway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't.
I think it's incredibly stupid and short-sighted.
I agree with that.
Now, I'd say if it's going to replace an attraction at Epcot, I mean, that's probably the one to do it, though. I mean, there's not. It's a good one to. If you're going to have to replace an attraction, it's not like it's.
But that's like saying if you're going to burn my house down, here's the right fluid to use. Yeah.
True.
To start the fire.
Yeah. I mean, they've talked about.
Why do we have to burn the house down?
Yeah. They have talked about. Okay. Well, if it's not rebuilt. You know, I guess they've talked now, I guess, about putting something in Stitch, Wreck-It Ralph and Stitch. You could see it going in somewhere like that, but not enough room probably for roller coaster.
I can see that, though. Because
yeah, to play off your analogy, you think taking Ellen's Energy Adventure out and replacing it with Guardians of the Galaxy is burning your house down? Like, this is going to bring down Epcot?
I think putting Guardians of the Galaxy
in
Epcot is essentially saying we've given up on the Epcot theme.
I just wanted to make sure I understood the analogy, but I agree with that more.
It's definitely the experimental part because it does seem pretty random.
I mean, what does Guardians of the Galaxy have to do with energy? And really, what it says is
I think that would be they tear down. There is no more Universe of Energy Pavilion. They would be.
What it says is that the current batch of Imagineers can't figure out a way to explain energy, the problems around energy, in a way that is compelling. To people these days, it's not a failure of energy net being the right topic. It's a failure of the Imagineers being able to communicate properly.
So what you want is a fracking it's just attraction.
But I'd be okay with that, right?
Okay.
But why couldn't it be, you know, imagine if you did Test Track, but with electric cars. And granted, they are electric cars now, but even if you said,
electric cars.
Right. Or, you know, wind power, solar power. Even if you updated the current attraction to say, here's a room that's devoted to wind power or geothermal, or here are the current topics. Yeah. Or even talking about global warming. All of these things are interesting. They're all relevant. They all have a science component. It's the failure of the Disney Corporation to explain it in an entertaining way.
So and the reason why they're doing something imaginagical.
Exactly. And the reason why they're going with Guardians of the Galaxy is because they don't have to spend any additional creative effort on making it entertaining. It's already entertaining. They slap it on a roller coaster, everyone's entertained.
And they get that Marvel attraction finally.
So would you argue, the other side of the argument, and this isn't the argument that I'm giving, but there is a demand for some sort of Marvel presence.
Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Right, I agree.
Right. Or Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
Right?
And I wouldn't mind it seeing.
Just not our beloved Epcot.
Well, it doesn't fit in the theme. If that's the case, right? If the need is if what you're saying is Epcot needs a Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy attraction, why not put it in Morocco? No, seriously, what's the difference? Right? It's not energy. It's not future.
I mean, there's space-ish.
If it's not the future. He's like 35.
Well,
maybe.
What if they did this? What if they set Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in Germany?
Like the actual movie.
Exactly right.
I'm just really excited when they unveil what it really is going to be, and it's going to be the most educational, like scientific thing ever. It's like that's actually a slight to Guardians of the Galaxy. Like
you
the
know
story.
If they do it, I will eat my words and say that it was. You know what?
It's not going to happen.
They're going to slap some sort of thin veneer over it to say, "Oh, energy! We need more energy."
Yeah, you know, here's the collector is collecting energy.
Energy, yeah, exactly.
They it's should do it at the Land Pavilion and just it be a Groot ride.
We could just get rid of that festival, that festival Lion King, that Lion King, that the most Lion depressing King
Circle of Life video.
Yeah, yeah. We just did that again, and that was terrifying. Yeah. I had to cover my son's eyes.
He was like, Daddy, why do they hate Disney so much?
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. They're building theme parks on wetlands.
Okay. No. Nothing to see here.
Kid, let me explain to you the concept of offsetting properties. Right. We're going to buy this land over here, and we agree not to do anything with it. If you let us build on this land that we had said originally, we were going to buy and not do anything with it.
It's like old Al Gore and his carbon credits.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think
not to get political.
Hopefully, that answered your question, Patrick.
It definitely was imaginagical.
It was, yeah.
It got there.
It got intense. All right, let's go to Stephanie, who's got a little bit more of a lighthearted question. She said, Stephanie says, going down to WDW for Run Disney's Wine and Dine weekend. The 2:45 a.m. wake up call for race limits us to one nighttime event on this trip. Besides the first Christmas party, which we are doing, should I go to the nighttime activities at Animal Kingdom or Symphony in the Stars at the studio? So let's first start and say, a lot of debate of what's going on with Animal Kingdom. Is there going to continue
to be... there are nighttime things at the Animal Kingdom?
Are there nighttime... Place? Is that... Are the times that we're getting... I don't know, maybe an update since I've been looking.
You can ride on a truck through the safari area at nighttime. Yeah.
But no. They're saying...
You define night as like the 45 minutes after sunset.
Right, yeah. They're now pulling the time.
That's when it ends.
Yeah, so are
nighttime
they saying...
truck ride.
Is that accurate that the nighttime thing is, at least till they figure out probably Rivers of Light, is it done? Like the real night, 10, 11?
I don't think it's going to be – until they figure out Rivers of Light, the park's not going to be open until 11. The latest I've seen the schedule is anywhere from 10 to 55 minutes after sunset.
Right. So
I have heard, though, that Rivers of Light, that they figured out the main problem with the GPS signals, and they just need like another month or so of testing for that. But then I heard that the GPS issue was masking some other navigational issues. And now, so what I've heard is end of October.
Okay. So when is Wine and Dine? That's mid October, right?
That is the last week of October, first week of December.
Okay. So keep an eye out if it's there. Like Will and I did the nighttime, not including Rivers of Light.
So what Logan means is that
we did the safari
and ate at Tiffin's.
We ate dinner. We saw the tree lit up and had some dinner. And we did the safari. And it was fine.
And that's going to be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're going to run Jungle Book because that was the lowest rated attraction.
Yeah.
So do you think we're just going to wait on anything new at Animal Kingdom until like attendance? Do you think they're going to use the attendance and just kind of hang on to Rivers of Light till spring break again?
No. I think, that's interesting. No, I don't think so. I think that with attendance being what it is. Yeah, I think they're going to try and get it done as soon as possible. And that, you know, end of October, November is now the new date that they're looking for.
Right.
The Wine and Dine thing is November 3rd to the 6th. I think the first Christmas party is the 8th, 7th or 8th.
Yeah, so there's a slight chance that it will be open. And if it is, it may be worth checking out. If World of Color is any indication, it's an amazing show. Because World of Color is my favorite nighttime show and on a Disney property that I've been to. But again, I'm more attached to that material than I am animals. But it's an amazing experience. So if it's not running, go to Symphony of the Stars because that thing is unbelievably great.
Yeah, and I've heard if you're going to do it, go see Symphony of the Stars, you want to stay on Hollywood Boulevard, right?
Yes, I've done it now twice. I've done it, well, technically three times. And if you're not on Hollywood Boulevard, you can't see anything except for fireworks, and you can kind of hear, like you can't really fully hear the soundtrack if you're even off in front of, you know, your beloved, your restaurants, whatever they want at prime time. Yeah, like really. You can see fireworks, but it doesn't, you don't have the effect because so much of it is projection now. I mean, it's a good portion of the show. It's amazing. If you don't do the dessert party, get there real early though to get a spot that you can see because it's nuts. All right. It may not be as nuts, you know, whenever you're going, but. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Lynn for popping by, and obviously thanks to the greatest band of podcasting, Off Kilter. Go to their website, offkilter.net, but more importantly, join us and them together one night only, one stage only at DLP Fest, De Las Puertas. Find it at dlpfest.com. That's coming this September 30th. That's under a month away, and I want to see each and every one of you out there. And special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Off to Neverland Travel, as Will likes to say.
All you got
to
do is pack.
Go to neverland.com. That's going to do it. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
We'll see you on the next show.